As the latest issue of Yes Magazine hits newsstands and lands in mailboxes, we'll get a look today at what the Solutions Journalism Magazine has in store for readers. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, and in addition to being the host of Rising Up with Sonali, I'm also the Racial Justice and Civil Liberties Editor at Yes Magazine. And I'm so pleased today to introduce Yvette Dion, our Executive Editor. You may remember her from her December interview on this show about her excellent book, Weightless, Making Space for My Resilient Body and Soul. She's back now to preview the endings issue of Yes. Hi, Yvette.
Hi, Sonali. Thank you so much for having me.
So this is the spring issue of the magazine. And in your letter to the editor, you write, quote, "What becomes clear is that endings can be openings for the compassionate, equitable world we desire to create." Tell me more about that and why this was a theme for this entire issue.
So often when we're thinking about the idea of something ending, whether it's our life or a marriage or a relationship that is not serving us, we're taught to have a fear of something ending. And so this issue is really focusing on endings allowing for the ushering in of new beginnings. And so instead of us fearing the end of something, it's something that we should come to embrace as a community and as individuals, because it's something that allows for our new beginnings to really blossom. And so that is the through line throughout this entire issue.
It's something that can often be seen as a little bit scary, right? For us to embrace, you know, the potential end of a marriage, the eventual end of our world. It's something that can be a very, very scary thing. A lot of Americans think about climate change and the ending of the planet as we know it. And so there's this really interesting story that got a lot of traction online, perhaps because of its provocative title, but ending national parks. Tell me about this story and how it relates to our fears around the end of the planet and our species, and how can it can actually be a hopeful thing.
So national parks in our society, it's something that we're just taught or a natural, normal part of being, particularly in the United States. So we just assume that they have always existed, and that's not true. In fact, the majority of national parks in the United States were built on indigenous land. And therefore, when we are thinking about what it would take to have a society that treats indigenous people with respect and with dignity, a part of that is returning their land to them. So our senior editor, Brianna Draxler, worked with the writer, Amanda Gokey, to think about what it would look like for us to return national parks to indigenous tribes, what that would mean for all of us, and the beauty that could blossom from that.
So the story got a lot of traction online. It's a kind of thing that I think a lot of folks haven't really thought about, but I suppose that's one of the reasons why it made it into the magazine. We talked about sadness earlier, because endings often are linked to the idea of sadness. And there's a beautiful story called The Imposition of Black Grief in our endings issue. Tell me about this story. Prolonged grief is normal and even necessary is the subtitle.
Yes. So Neka Inamkona is a writer that we have worked with for this piece. And she actually wrote a book about grief. And I tapped her specifically to write this piece and to think about the ways in which pandemics have, or particularly the COVID-19 pandemic, have changed the way that we think about collective grief or long grief. So often in our society, we have, say, a loved one pass away, and the response is you get 3 days of bereavement leave and you're supposed to be over the loss. The argument that NECA makes in this piece is that for Black Americans in particular, grief is a natural part of our existence because of everything we have endured as a people. And as a result of that, we've had to create rituals that allow us to grieve in real time while also continuing our lives. And she offers that up as a model for how in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, how we can all come together to collectively grieve without losing a sense of self.
There's also the idea around history and Black history, unearthing Black history, which is somewhat related to that, in that, of course, the history of this nation, the history of what this nation has, the white supremacist history of this nation, if you will, has had such an impact on Black families. So there was a book review about a book that is, in a way, related to Black history. Tell me about Black History Unearthed, another story in the Endings issue.
Yes. So in our culture shift section, which ends the issue, we are typically looking at books and television shows and movies and documentaries that further the mission of Yes. And so and one such book is A Darker Wilderness. It's an anthology that includes personal essays, op-eds, stories, reported features, poetry, photographs, artifacts, all around the relationship that Black people have with nature. And so we were fortunate enough to feature that book in the culture shift section and to really focus on what these artifacts mean to Black Americans. So if you have, say, a necklace from your great-great-grandmother, or you have a book that belonged to your great-great-grandfather, what does that mean? And how does that connect Black people not only back to their own memory and their own history, but to nature overall?
My guest is Yvette Dionne, executive editor of Yes Magazine, where I also work as the racial justice and civil liberties editor. And Yvette, we did a great story in the Endings issue, which we're previewing, about abolishing prisons by Amanda Alexander and Deanna Van Buren, the careful work of abolishing prisons, how to kick our national addiction to prisons. This is such an interesting story because it used to be considered so radical, right, to even think about prison abolition. And it's becoming more and more part of the mainstream conversation. Why was this an important story for you as executive editor to include in this issue of Endings?
It was essential. I think so much of what we attempt to do with the print magazine in particular is really tap into national conversations that are happening and offer the solutions angle to them. And so when we're thinking about what it means to end something, one of the biggest conversations we're having right now is how do we either reform our criminal justice system or abolish our criminal justice system and create something else in its wake? And so often there's a lack of imagination around that. Like, what would that look like? Are there communities that have already done it? And what would it look like to implement it nationwide? This particular op-ed delves into that and offers concrete solutions for how we can achieve that goal without fully upending our society, which is often the fear. So it not only addresses the fear, but takes us into the realm of imagination about what would happen if we abolish prisons. What's on the other side of that?
Right. So that's where the solutions angle comes in. And with every ending, cliche as that may sound, is a new beginning. And those two work hand in hand. There's an extensive feature story around ending wealth, another hot button issue, an issue that's increasingly entering the consciousness of mainstream America, which is that capitalism is broken. Senior editor Chris Winters wrote a story, Could We End Wealth? Tell me about this story, Yvette.
Yes, so Chris Winters did write this story, and he is phenomenal, he is brilliant, and he thought a lot about what it would take to actually end wealth. So often in our society, the wealthiest among us, we see them redistribute wealth or attempt to get rid of all of their wealth, and instead they continue to accrue it. And so Chris looks at all of the possible solutions that could lead to people foregoing wealth and not being able to then reline their pockets. So he talks about, for instance, if you redistribute wealth, is there a tax penalty for that? For instance, or how do we reform philanthropy so it's not just a tax write-off that allows you to reaccrue wealth? So he offers a multitude of options within that story, including a Just the Facts, so a data story in addition to that that's included within Could We End Wealth, all about what it would actually take to reform capitalism in our society.
That's right. This is a common something that we have in every issue, just the facts, because of course Yes Magazine adheres to rigorous journalistic standards, so we like to present the facts behind our thinking. There's a great story that also touches on the issue of whether we should include gender categories for sports. I love this story as well. Another issue, you know, it's another topic that has entered the mainstream, unfortunately, because the right wing has made it one of their hot button cultural issues. But tell me about how this Yes story in Endings actually looks at gender in sports in a way that could be quite transformative and doesn't play into the culture wars of the right.
Yes. So Frankie De La Creta, who I have worked with previously in many iterations of their work, wrote this story and specifically looked at Title IX and the ways in which Title IX further segregated sports by gender without considering what that means for non-binary and trans people in our society. And so Frankie proposes a set of solutions, primarily what it would look like, for instance, to separate people by weight class rather than gender, or by skill level rather than gender, to allow for trans people and non-binary people to have a place in sports. So rather than what is happening in our current moment, which is excluding trans children altogether, what would it look like to form the sorts of leagues that allow everyone to compete, and often they say unfairly, but allow everyone to compete fairly based on their skill level, based on their weight class, and based on their goals. So if your goal, for instance, is not to play sports on the collegiate level, what can happen on the high school level to allow everyone to compete? If you are on the collegiate level, what happens there? And so they look at sports from every angle, from if you're just playing recreational basketball, for instance, through professional leagues, to see what exactly this would look like and what it would mean for non-binary and trans folks to be included rather than excluded.
Well, it's not all just factual, you know, and hard stories and policy issues. Yes Magazine also has a wonderful, very artistic and poetic feature in each issue called Terra Affirma. It's a sort of a new iteration of a feature. Tell me about Terra Affirma, specifically as it shows up in this latest spring issue themed Endings for Yes Magazine. It's about whale falls, and it's so beautiful. I think it's something the magazine hasn't perhaps done before, which is to have two-page spreads.
Yes, I love this feature and this issue. It is, as you say, about whale fall. So essentially, when whales die, they descend to the bottom of the ocean, and they create an entire ecosystem with their carcass for every living organism who feed off of them, who create new ecosystems with portions of their body. It is fascinating. And it's so well done. If you have the chance to pick up the print issue, you will notice that you have to turn the issue to its side to read it straight through. It is beautifully illustrated and very, very well done, and also includes some rigorous reporting as well.
And this is Sarah Gilman,
yes,
who does Terra Affirma. You know, we could go through the entire issue, but this is just meant to be a preview. It's just looking at, you know, a few of the highlights. There's much more. People can pick up a copy at a newsstand, or they can also subscribe at yesmagazine.org/subscribe. And finally, Yvette, I just want to ask you to kind of go back over, you touched on this in an earlier answer about the solutions journalism aspect of Yes Magazine. Yes Magazine has been doing this now for 25 years, but more and more journalistic outlets are realizing that sort of crisis reporting can be depressing, doesn't necessarily encourage civic action, right? So is that for you what makes Yes so interesting, that we focus on the solutions to problems?
Yes, absolutely. That is what makes Yes essential. That it's not just about recounting what the problem is, but giving people ways to get involved with the issues that they care about, whether it is desegregating sports leagues or thinking about how to grieve in the aftermath of the pandemic. It's giving people concrete, true solutions that can work on a small scale, but can also be worked through on a larger scale that allows people to get involved. So we can all talk about what the issues are day in and day out, but every issue has a multitude of solutions that we can explore. And it's important that we all get involved, which is what YES encourages.
And for our radio audiences, I wish you could see the visuals of our magazine. It's a very beautiful magazine. I do want to really give credit to Natalie Pryor, our art director, who has done such a fantastic job in making this such a beautiful magazine to look at. It makes me proud to be associated with YES, right, Yvette? It's a whole team of people that goes, that puts this issue together every quarter, headed by you, led by our fearless leader.
Thank you so much. It is a team effort. It's a group project. It is a team effort. And I'm so appreciative to our entire team at YES, including you, Sonali, for putting together phenomenal, beautiful, I cannot emphasize enough, beautiful issues.
Again, you can subscribe at yesmagazine.org/subscribe. Yvette, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll have you back on next quarter to talk about the issue we're working on right now.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Sonali.
My guest has been Yvette Dion, executive editor of YES Magazine, and we've been discussing the latest issue of YES hitting newsstands now. Again, you can go to yesmagazine.org/subscribe. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. I'm also the racial justice and civil liberties editor at YES Magazine, as well as the host of this program, Rising Up with Sonali, which you can find online at risingupwithsonali.com. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.